My guest at this time is Frank Donatelli, former deputy chairman of the Republican National Committee. He also served as the political director in the Reagan White House. He is now with the Washington firm of McGuire Wood. We want to get his reaction to today's much highlighted meeting between presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump and the top elected Republican official in the nation. And that, of course, is House Speaker Paul Ryan, who earlier in the week suggested he's not there yet when it comes to officially endorsing Trump. And Frank, thanks very much for being with us.
Greg, thanks. Good to be with you.
Well, that obviously set off some tremors, not only in Trump's world, but among some Republican National Committee officials, I would suggest. How vital is it to party unity for Paul Ryan to eventually get on board here?
Well, it's very, very important. The parties are very polarized these days, and typically each party gets upwards of 90% of the party members that vote in that election. And so anything that falls off even slightly from that is a real problem as far as that nominee is concerned. So it's not enough for the Republican nominee to have overwhelming support. They have to have almost unanimous support in order to have enough votes then to compete for independence and actually win the presidential election. So Republican unity is very important, and Paul Ryan does represent an important segment of Republicans. He calls it the Kemp Reagan wing, which is more optimistic, I would say inclusive, more free market than the voters that elected or that nominated Donald Trump. And it's an important part of the Republican Party, and it's important if the Republicans have a shot at winning the White House that they bring those Republicans into the fold.
How much is the Hillary Clinton factor perhaps the most likely thing to unify not only Ryan and Trump, but the movement and the party as a whole, given some of the friction that has obviously played out over a very contested primary?
Well, it is an important element. Obviously, that's what a lot of Republicans are pointing to, is that they couldn't support the Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton, and so therefore, by definition, you have to endorse Trump. And, you know, that goes a part of the way, but obviously it doesn't go far enough with Ryan or Jeff Flake or Mitt Romney or a lot of other Republicans that still have doubts. So it seems to me that's where you begin the conversation. Okay, we're united in that we just don't think Hillary Clinton offers a viable path forward for the country. But then I think what you want to do is start talking about, and I think Ryan is right to talk about general principles rather than specific proposals. At least let's get agreement on general principles as a way to moving forward.
Given Trump's flexibility on what exactly he wants to do on certain priorities, does that perhaps give an opening to Ryan, who's such a detail-oriented guy, that perhaps, at least on some issues, he'd kind of let a Republican majority, if it still exists, take the ball?
I think so. I mean, you're correct that, you know, Trump's not really an ideological candidate. He calls himself a pragmatist and is flexible on a lot of these issues. I think the other thing that Ryan is looking at is not just principles. I don't think he'll say this directly, but the tone of the campaign also. I think it disturbs him, and it disturbs a lot of Republicans if we have a nominee that's constantly combative and belittling and just not speaking and acting the way a president should act, with grace and with measure, and always thinking before they are saying something. So I think the tone of the campaign, I think, is also going to be important to Ryan going forward. This is not something that's going to happen overnight. It would not be credible for both of these candidates to have one meeting and say, oh, look, we've agreed on everything. I mean, that is not going to satisfy anybody. So the idea of baby steps here, you have one meeting and you maybe narrow the differences, and then there's another meeting, and maybe there's a meeting of the minds here where eventually they can all get on board. But it's not going to happen right away.
Frank, you mentioned the tone of the campaign, and while obviously more and more people, including some previous presidential candidates who had some very strong negative things to say about Trump have decided, well, it's either him or Hillary, so we're getting on board. For those who have yet to do so, which includes, I think, most U.S. senators and certainly a lot of people in the House as well, you mentioned the tone. Are they reluctant, not only due to some serious differences, but also because if they do formally endorse, then they're going to be put on the defensive about everything Trump says or does over the next 6 months?
Well, look, all you have to do is look and see what a Democratic Senate candidate in Arkansas is trying to do to the Trump nomination to win that seat in the very red state of Arkansas. And it's a pure recital of a lot of the intemperate things that he has said as a candidate so far. It's a problem if you're trying to handle this candidate and what he has said in the past, and you're trying to square that with the type of coalition that you're putting together in a lot of states, that represents a problem. I think all Republicans have to assess the states that they're involved in. Look, on the one hand, they want to be true to the Republican Party and the nominee. On the other hand, they've got their own coalition that they have to put together to win, especially in swing states and so-called purple states. And so you're going to see Republican candidates trying to come up with different formulations as to how they try to balance those two objectives.
Frank, there's been some talk, certainly, and criticism of those who have refused to get on board, either formally or in some cases informally, with the Trump campaign at this point. Based on your experience, are they a bad Republican if they keep their distance, or is it just a matter, like you said, of state by state?
Look, I think it's up to the nominee and the campaign to unify the party, and that means that hopefully the candidates and his advisors are on the phone calling Republicans, talking to them, encouraging them to be part of the team, not threatening them, but trying to build a common set of principles that all Republicans can run on. And I think conversely, it's up to all Republicans to take a look at the candidate and what his principles are and the tone of his campaign and make an honest judgment as to whether or not they want to be part of that effort. You know what? I mean, this is a matter of conscience in a lot of cases. Party unity is important. And the fact that you are a member of a political party, I think, takes you a long way in terms of supporting your presidential nominee. In my personal opinion, it doesn't take you 100% of the way. And I think that's what Ryan is saying. I got to hear a little bit more about how you're going to run this campaign. I want to frankly see the tone of the campaign. And we have plenty of time down the road here. The convention's not for a couple of months. Let's keep talking and let's see if we can get on the same page.
Let's finish with that, the point that the convention is a little over 2 months away now. If you're Ryan Priebus, I don't know exactly how you quantify the enthusiasm of unity or the breadth of the unity, but what do you hope to have achieved by mid to late July?
Well, I think you would want to get as many people on board, prominent Republicans, as you possibly can. I think you'd also want to, at least for those people that are conscientious objectors, keep the lines of communication open so that possibly they could join the team down the road. And I think you really want to try to scrub the program as much as you possibly can to eliminate as many conflicts in Cleveland as you can. You know, the fact that this is not going to be a contested convention in the sense that we know who the nominee is going to be, that doesn't mean there aren't going to be a lot of controversies at the convention. There are a lot of platform issues that have to be worked out, probably some credentials fights, some rules fights. The program has to be determined. Who is going to be speaking? What is Ted Cruz going to say? Ted Cruz is surely going to have a primetime speech at the convention. What other former candidates are going to get speeches, and what are they going to say? So, and who's he going to pick for vice president? So all of these issues are still to be negotiated and determined. And so I think that the RNC chair and his staff's work has just begun in this regard.
going to be an amazing 60 days to Cleveland, and then three more months beyond that, and even more till the election day. Frank, always good to have your analysis. Thanks for your time today.
Oh, okay, Greg, thanks.
Frank Donatelli is a former deputy chairman of the Republican National Committee, former political director in the Reagan White House. He's now with the Washington firm of McGuire Wood. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.